Welcome to Patterns and Possibilities, Curious Conversations with Ms. Handy. I'm so pleased to begin a new pattern of inquiry that involves an up-close and personal conversation with special guests around the globe who actively use human systems dynamics to transform the patterns in their world. That new pattern of inquiry begins with our special guest right now. I'm delighted to introduce you to Judy Tal. Judy lives in Tel Aviv, and she manages an HSD Learning Center, which she's been doing since 2011. She's a current teacher, consultant, and supervisor. You can learn more about Judy by reading her bio in our show notes. Welcome to Patterns and Possibilities, Judy.
Good day. Hello.
You've been touching HSD for a while, and I want to know what led you to it, and what, if anything, were you looking for?
I became an associate for this company back in 2004. It was long, long ago, and I can't now remember how I found them. So somewhere I read about HSD, and I found their phone number and called, and actually it made me decide very quickly to take 3 months away from home, from husband, from children, from grandchildren, and go to certify with Glenda in Minneapolis. The reason, deep reason, was actually because I was a mathematician. I researched and taught mathematics in the university for many years. And at a certain time, I shifted into organizational development. The shift was because of two reasons. One of them was that I was involved in a project and realized how challenging and how important managing people among themselves, and how it was for me a very big challenge. And then when I learned various methodologies, and I finished 2 years in Tavistock Institute with the analytical viewpoint, I missed something to connect with my mathematics, with the science, not only with the tough or the not tough, the issues of human systems that come from the analytical point of view of Tavistock, or from a mechanical point of view of, let's say, theory of constraints. So I was missing something, but I'm not sure at that time that I knew what I was missing. I just sensed that something is not complete, and that it's impossible that 24 years as a mathematician and a theoretician will just disappear like this because I'm dealing with human systems. On the contrary. So actually I found an answer to my needs, and I didn't have to search anymore. That's how I got there. Since then, it is being a partner, being an associate with HSD and with all the people that I actually, there were people whom I taught, there were people whom I worked with in the HSD. It never, never disappointed me. The choice was just to the point.
You talked about the fact that you're a former mathematician, and from everything that I know about math, it's laced with patterns. And so how did that ability to identify patterns in math aid or even hinder your ability to identify the patterns as HSD speaks of it?
So in a way it did, and in a way I needed a lot from the HSD theory to support this kind of mixture. Before I met Glenda and the theory itself, and the attitude, I call it a theory because it is so well built. But before I met them, I really actually accept of simple mathematical tools, even simulations that I made or things like this, were far from being probably what I was missing. The complexity sciences, dealing with complex systems, with complex human systems, with the interdependencies that occur there that I didn't find elsewhere. I found only always a few things depending on each other, but not the wide viewpoint of massive amount of interactions and of needs and of, for me as a mathematician, it's parameters. So yes, so actually from this point, it was just natural for me to engage with complexity sciences, with complex adaptive systems, with chaos, chaotic phenomena and the theory of chaos anyhow, and involve it together into human systems. Take from them things that we can learn from, take from them things that we can apply from what has been researched in the complexity sciences and in chaos theory. So that's how.
Well, Judy, you are an example of how we can take what we're already doing and what we've already studied, and it can still blend well and aid to what HSD is teaching us too.
You said a beautiful remark about, I wanted always to say that HSD doesn't have boundaries. HSD is not limiting itself to this or that, to healthcare, to this, doesn't matter what. HSD, first of all, since it comes from an assumption or an axiom that is taken from the theory of chaos, it is abstract. And then it leads itself so nicely to every human encounter.
So what else have you learned, and are there any other ways that you're using it that you haven't already shared?
Oh, so this is a big question, because it is a big statement to say, but truly it changed my life, truly. So it's, I'm not composing and I don't use extremes when not needed, but HSD and shifting the paradigm of how I saw human systems, how I saw human relations, how I looked at the world, how I saw the world, the shift of the paradigm shift that occurred to me while I was introduced to the HSD concept changed my life totally, in the micro and in the macro. I mean, my work, of course, we will talk probably about my work, but at home with my husband, with my son and his wife, a trio. Me, my son, and my daughter-in-law. So it changed the way I managed and I could lead interactions that were always fruitful, always peaceful, even though it was not easy. It's not easy. Don't even think about HSD being easy. The paradigm shift occurs slowly. You catch one thing, and then later by experience, you catch another thing of the same phenomena. And actually it happens all the time. It emerges all the time, this paradigm, this deep understanding of how things work, how things happen. Now look, it's very important to emphasize, the map is not the territory. HSD provides a large map, a very detailed map, a very profound map, but it's not the territory. So anyhow, linking among what I know and what I see and doing anything with it is not easy. It needs a lot of thoughts. Many times it involves emotions that are not very, very easy for somebody when he changes a way he was thinking all his life. I was about 50 when I shifted. So you can imagine it was, I had a long history behind me. And as a mathematician, quite a rational viewpoint, a rational, very rational viewpoint actually. So it really was like opening a new eye, maybe the third.
Well, Judy, you talked about something that I want you to just expound upon. You said when you changed, you noticed there was some differences in your relationships with your husband, your son, and your daughter-in-law. Can you share what things did you notice about them that changed as you changed?
Ah, it's very nice. the question. So it's a tough question because they should say what changed. You know, it's not me to say, but actually it happened not once that I became involved in a kind of conflict among them. So the conflict involved me in many ways because, first of all, it's my son. I don't have to tell you son and mommy's relationship. So it was instinctively supporting him. On the other hand, I must tell you, I love my daughter-in-law. I think she's the best present I got in my life. So they were in conflict and they came to me. So it's the way I managed their correlation among them without taking sides, with inquiry. Actually, I solved the conflict. So if this is the change, it's a huge change. But actually, whether it influenced him for the long run or whether they captured, you know, I speak, I'm a very talkative person, as you notice. So they hear me, they hear my ideas, they hear my remarks. And probably some of them, you know, are absorbed somewhere. It's very important to mention that we learn actually only from mistakes. That's the truth. That's the present of the mistakes. The mistakes give us presents afterwards. And the present is that we learn. We become more aware.
Now, what advice would you give to the HSD community and really to the world of human beings who haven't yet experienced HSD?
Oh, so usually to my learners, I call them co-learners, my learners and co-learners, what I tell them whenever there is anything, any question of now what, my first answer is keep swimming. So keep swimming means that adaptive action, the action of adapting, of building, of interacting with others, seeing what's going on, analyzing how it relates to you, checking how much you can influence it, and acting accordingly is actually an iteration. You do it again and again in various scales. Sometimes it takes a week, sometimes it takes a moment. This is the first thing that I would tell everybody, even if not yet in touch with HSD to the depth, but can read about adaptive action and internalize much of its, its momentum. This adaptive action has a beautiful momentum. It doesn't stop. But I also want to add another advice for those who didn't yet start and those who are hesitating about starting because they are afraid of the paradigm shift, which is necessary. Necessary. I've met very few people, very few, who actually came with this understanding in advance. Glenda told me that in the East, it is more common to look at things that they emerge in this way, but I don't know. So I wanted to tell those who don't that there is this tool or this tool called simple rules, which the theory behind it is not very, very important at this moment. And I want to suggest to concentrate and keep in mind the first simple rule of HSD. The first simple rule, it has six simple rules, but the first one is stand in inquiry. And for me, it is like a zoom, how do you call it, a buzz in my head, always standing in inquiry, because not only it helps and it's clever, but it has a very nice directive sentences. What does it mean to stay in inquiry? It means that judgment, you turn into curiosity. So you have to find out what the judgment is and ask yourself, of course, what does the other side has to say or what else can be said about it? The other thing is turn disagreement into shared experience. So this is dialogic. This is the dialogue. This is the first need to get into any result when people have to collaborate. The third is turning defensiveness into self-reflection. So I want to say something about it. In my nature, I am competitive. I like to compete, and I don't like to lose, and very other things that are deep in my character. Also now at the age of 70 plus, they are not as strong as they used to be when I was 30 and 40. Now, in this situation, I turned to defensiveness very fast. I mean, it was actually like an automatic pilot, you know? So I stuck to this thinking about stop defending yourself and share the fears, share what you are afraid of, share, be open, be vulnerable, because then you are true to yourself. Then you bring yourself from the deepest point or situation of your life. And there is a fourth one, which I helped to phrase when I was more active, because there were times that every day I spoke with Glenda, and this is to turn assumptions into questions. And this I taught all my family.
Well, Judy, thank you so much for being so candid and vulnerable about how HSD has changed your life. And I know our listeners are going to appreciate and find so much value in all that you've shared.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to answer your questions.
And it's definitely been my privilege.
I'm so grateful that you've joined us for our new pattern of curious conversations with Miss Handy. Be sure to tune in next time when we'll talk to another one of our special guests from around the globe about their unique HSD, what, so what, and now what experience. Until then, continue using adaptive action to discover all of the patterns and possibilities that exist in your world. Thank you.